Brother Barry made mention, I don't know, a few months ago when he was teaching, I guess it was on the 3 days and three nights, but he made mention about the preparation day, and he's talking about how they was to be prepared to leave out of bondage, and the preparation they had to make for that, and that's stayed on my heart a whole lot ever since. And I'm not going to use those scriptures, but that's kind of on where my thought is in preparation. And as we get closer and closer to revival, for us being in a condition we need to be in to be able to have revival. And I think it's very important for us to make preparations. We're living in a land of preparations. This is just a temporary place making preparations for eternity. That's what it boils down to. I'm thankful there used to be a show come on about the preppers, and they was all prepping for doomsday. You know, a lot of them was digging holes out in the ground. They was storing food, doing all these things, and they was trying to prep for the end of times. But all that was a waste of time. The preparation I made, it was as a 14-year-old boy in the back of the house at Rocky Mound calling on the Lord and when I got saved by God's grace. That was my preparations to do me for that day that's coming. And that's all I need. So I'm thankful for that. But we also, and we want you, if you're here today and lost, I want you to understand that's what you're in. You're in a little bitty space right here, just a short space of life, prepping for eternity. And I want you to be saved by God's grace and make your preparations. But I believe also for us, the church at Hilltop, we need to make preparations, not only for this upcoming revival, but also for when the Lord comes back, that He would find us a working, laboring, in good shape here at Hilltop, doing what He'd have us to do. So I want to take for a reading lesson very familiar scriptures to most, I guess, and not so familiar to some. But out of the first chapter of Luke, I want to begin reading there after the introduction, who will be doing the speaking in this book and everything, the Gospel of Luke. Start reading there in the fifth verse. And it says, "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of course, of the course of Abi, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking all in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn the incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto to him, Fear not, Zacharias, for the prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned unto the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts and the fathers and the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in thy presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee the glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the days of these things shall be performed, because thou believest not the words which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And one of the mistakes we made reading that was from the 5th to the 21st verse. And we find here that John the Baptist was one that was sent before the Lord to make ready a people. And John, what he come was preaching repentance. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he, John come and preached the gospel, and he preached about the one that was coming and the kingdom that he was coming to bring. Here upon this earth, his kingdom was not of this earth. His kingdom was at heaven. But he was coming to establish his kingdom here. And what John was to do was to preach to those that they'd be saved. And then he baptized them and preparing a people for the Lord and for his church. And John was the only one that was gave the authority to baptize. So he was sent from God for that purpose. And so he was the reason, that was the reason being he baptized Jesus, because John had the authority. And then after Jesus was baptized, we find that he was led up in the mountains, tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And then he called unto whom he would. He called the 12 disciples, and he set up his church there in the mountain. And it's still here today. But we find that it said it would make already a people prepared for the Lord. And Baptists today are still trying to do that. We're still trying to make ready a people. We can't save nobody, but we preach the gospel. We witness unto them. And when they're saved, then we baptize them into the Lord's church and preparing a people for when the Lord comes and His second coming. Now, He's done come once. He walked upon this earth, and that's what John was preparing a people for then. But next time Jesus comes, He will not step, I don't believe, a foot here on this earth. I believe He'll bust the eastern sky wide open. I believe we'll be called up to meet Him. A new Jerusalem will come down with Him, and we will be there to be with the Lord forevermore. But we are trying to prepare a people to be ready for that. And there comes times we set aside a time for revival. And when we do that, the main purpose of that, of course, is to God get honor and glory, the church be revived, but lost people might be saved. So as Baptists, we're still trying to do that. So in making preparations, what would we think? There's several things that we need to do to make preparations for the time when the Lord comes. There's several things we need to do for this revival. And I begin to think all the different things that we need to be prepared for when it comes to this revival. And without a doubt, the most important thing I believe we can do, and I pray that each and every one of you would agree with me, is pray. And without prayer, we will not, listen to me, we will not have a meeting. We have got to have God. Jesus said, He was talking to the church. He said, I stand outside the door and knock. And He said, if anyone desire me to come in with him, I'll come in and sup with him. He was talking to the church. I want you to realize if we're going to have any power in this revival, if there's going to be a spiritual atmosphere in this revival coming up, we are going to have to pray. And I mean not just saying words, I mean pray. And if we'll get to the point where we desire having God here with us more than anything else, whether it be a great big crowd or whatever it is, we're going to need God if it ain't but two or three of us that comes in here. If we'll desire Him in such a manner and pray to Him, believing that He'll come and say, yea, Lord, we believe their eyes might be open. I believe in all my heart He'll give a revival. there's still going to be other conditions, and I pray before the next 2 or 3 weeks is over, we can talk about some of them. But Paul said this in Romans chapter 10, a very familiar scripture. Everything I'm going to do, today's not going to be nothing deep. Today, if I believe in all my heart, if we can get the basics down, if we can just get the basics, if we would just get to praying, we would get to witnessing, we would get to preaching, we would get to doing what God has given us to do, we can have a revival. It's got to be something real deep and hard to understand. It ain't. It's just like salvation. It's not that hard. And for us to have a revival, it's not going to be that hard. The Apostle Paul said in the 10th chapter of Romans, brethren, my heart's desire. Listen to that. Keep that in mind. Heart's desire. You have got to want this. My heart's desire and prayer is for God, prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. They might be saved. They were supposed to be the children of God. But I want you to realize it don't matter what name you got, unless you're born again of the Spirit, hell is going to be your home. You must be saved by God's grace. So listen, Paul's desire and his prayer, I want you to know he prayed for this. Hey, I believe he prayed continuously that they might be saved. And my prayer is that we would get to praying that God would send a revival here. There were 7 saved the other morning up there at Macon. I'll be honest, we could have a service here where it'd be 70 saved and it would be nothing for God today. All right, so how do we pray? I can't tell you how to pray, but I can tell you this. If you don't pray believing, you're wasting your time. So we must pray believing God is going to hear us. And I want to. There's going to be 2 or 3 places and 2 or 3 chapters here we want to look at here in Matthew. But I'm going to go another place or two. But my prayer is that we'd understand of what God can do for us. It says in the 7th chapter, in the 7th verse, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom is a son, whom you his son asks bread and will give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now I want you to realize he's saying here, you ask and you shall receive. And he said he wants to give us good things. I believe it in all my heart. It's God's will to give us a revival. And I want to go here. I hear people say all the time, well, I've asked God for this and I've asked him for that. It is not always God's will to give us these things. Everything you ask for, you're not going to get. It's got to be within God's will. But if it's His will, He will grant your petitions. It says in 2 John in the 5th chapter and the 14th and the 15th verse, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desired of Him. Now I want you to listen. It said anything that is His will, I want you to know it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So it's God's will, I believe in all my heart, to give us a revival. It is God's will to save our lost family members. It's God's will to save our children, our grandchildren, our in-laws, our outlaws, our nephews and nieces. It's God's will to save a lost and dying world. You say, well, if it's God's will, then we don't have to ask for it. We still have to ask. If you want to have a revival, you're going to have to ask for it. I love these scriptures over here in Jeremiah and use them a lot of times to talking to lost people. In the 29th chapter of Jeremiah in the 12th and 13th verse, it says, "Then shall ye call upon me, And you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Paul said, "My heart's desire is Israel, that they'd be saved." I want you to realize, we tell people all the time, you got to pray from all your heart. You got to be willing to give everything. You got to want it more than anything. It is no different for me and you than it is for them. The first time I ever prayed, I wanted God more than I wanted anything else. The last time I truly prayed, I wanted Him more than I wanted anything else. When you'll humble yourself and pray, when you desire to have feel Him in your heart, that's how I got called to preach. I got cold and indifferent. I hadn't been able to talk to God in some time. Have you ever been that way? Have you ever got to the point where you just want to feel God so bad that nothing else matters? I got to a point that I'd miss feeling His Spirit. So, do you feel that way, church? Do you feel that you want to be able to have Him just come in and just fill you up, that your cup runneth over? I said, "God, if you'll just fill me up, if I could just feel that, if I could feel you again, I'd be willing to do what you'd have me do." And I just know for sure He'd have me get up and testify and tell about what God had done for me. I was willing to do that, Brother Michael. I would have been glad to done that, to just be able to feel Him. And boy, all of a sudden I felt Him and that sweet peace, and He said, "Preach my word." And I thought, oh, no, that wasn't what I was wanting to hear. 8 years later, I finally give in to my call and tried. And that's all I'm still doing today, is just trying. Still can't do it. But listen, people, I wanted God. You can say what you want. I can say what I want. We can come up here and we can make the awfulest racket and sound like the prophets of Baal cutting their arms and doing the awfulest carrying on you've ever heard. People all over this country hearing us up here are calling on God. But if we're not doing it from the desires of our heart, wanting Him to come and meet us more than anything, it's all vanity. It's just words. We need God. We need Him. We need Him so bad we don't realize it. We have no idea how bad we need Him. Look around you. Can we not see? I want you to know, when Elijah prayed, the fire come down. He prayed. He didn't cut his wrist and yell and scream, tear the altar up. He just asked God, believing, knowing that He was going to do it.
He said, show them, Lord. Show them your God. Show them you're my God. And he did. Get them, Lord. That's what he said. You get them, Lord. And he said, yea, Lord. He believed. And you know what happened? The fire came down. When we finally get to the point that we want him more than anything else, lost friend, when you get to that point, he'll save your soul. Church, when we get to where we want him more than anything else, the world, Google, Facebook, and everything else that comes that takes every bit of our time up, when we want him, he's still there. He's not changed. You hear him talk about the one where the woman asked her husband, said, used to, when we first got married, I always sat right beside you going down the road in the car. And he said, I've not moved. In other words, she's the one moved to the other side of the car. He was still sitting in the driver's seat. I want you to know God's not moved. He will not move. He's waiting for us. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. We got to pray believing. Now, this is hindering more of us than what would be willing to say. You get past the faith, which a lot of us still don't have. Thomas was saved by God's grace. He wasn't doubting because he was lost. He was doubting because he was a doubter. He was just like me and you. But we have other issues. We have issues with each other. And that keeps us from being able to pray. I don't know who's got an issue with anybody here, if anybody's got an issue. But I know this, for Jeff Likens, I carried an issue with a man for 3 years one time, and that 3 years I never once talked to God. I stayed mad all the time. I'd lay in bed at night and think about how I could whoop him, and boy, I whooped him. Man alive, did I whoop him. Profited nothing. Sorry. Ended up, I was the problem and rather than the man. And once I got past that and asked God to forgive me and I was willing to forgive my brother, you know what happened? My relationship with God opened back up. I was able to talk to God again. Have you got a problem with anybody? Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, remembrest that thy brother hath an ought against thee. Leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First reconcile to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. In other words, if you ain't willing to get things straightened up with your brother, are you really willing to get things straightened up with God? If you don't love your brother who you can see, how can you love God who you can? Or how can you love God that you can't see? In other words, Jesus said, if you did this unto these, the least of my brethren, you've did it unto me. If you're not willing to get things straightened up, what I want us is to have a revival. A true revival is when a church is revived. And then lost people are awakened. And there's a spiritual atmosphere. And I believe if three or four of us are really put forth the effort, I believe he'll come in and meet with us. I believe that. But I believe if this church as a whole come together and was willing to do whatever it takes for us to have a revival, we would see things like this country ain't seen in years. But are we willing to do that? Matthew. Chapter 6 now. We done read a while ago Matthew chapter 7. If you asked anything, he'd hear you. In chapter 5, he told us that if we had an ought with our brother, to get that straightened up, reconcile with your brother, and then come and leave your gift at the altar. In 6, he told them in the 14th and 15th, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. They asked Jesus one time, said, how often should we forgive our brother? 7 times? And Jesus said, I say unto you not 7 times, but 7 times 70. And that meant a day. 490 times a day. In other words, every time he asked you, you forgive him. I've heard her people say and make a statement and believe it. They say, well, so-and-so come back and ask for forgiveness again. I don't know if we ought to forgive them or not. I don't know if they're being sincere or not. They're going to go do the same thing again. They done it 2 or 3 times. Why should we forgive them knowing they're going to go do it again? Because Jesus said to do it. And he said, if you're not willing to do it, neither is he going to forgive you yours. Now, I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. You're not going to lose your salvation. But you can get yourself in a shape. There was one, he owed his Lord a whole bunch. And he wasn't no way he could pay it. And he said, well, Lord, just show mercy unto me. And he forgave all that debt. And you know that same person went and he had one that owed him just a little bit. You know what he done? Hey, that guy, he said, don't give me time. Give me a whole time. If you ever been there, you're a liar if you've been saved by God's grace and say you ain't been able to pay somebody back, because we'll never pay him back. You owe a debt, you'll never pay back. But listen, he said, give me a little time, I'll pay you. And I believe that man was being sincere in it. But he said, your time's up. He said, throw him in jail. I want you to realize the same Lord had come to him and said, I forgive you. Now you're not willing to forgive your brother. He said, deliver him to the tormentors. I want you to know you can be a torment in this life. I was in torment for 3 years. 3 years in torment. How long have you been in it? How long have you had an ought with your brother and you're not willing to forgive him? Addie Choir, I've talked about her. She's here today. I ain't going to throw her under the bus like I do her granny. But used to, she'd come through the house singing, let it go, let it go, let it go. Look at you lost grandkids. Look at lost children. And if you ain't got nobody here that you're related to, these babies, look at them. Amen. Is it worth hanging on to? Is it worth hanging on? Let it go. Get it straightened up where we can pray together, where we can believe together, where we can have a revival together. Whatever it is, it's not worth it. I pray we'll go over some other things. I think we're going to have a revival the next week or two. I want to have a revival. I want to see you get blessed. I want to see these grown people, these children, I don't care if they're the age of 7 or if they're the age of 70 or 170, as far as that goes. We want to see them get saved. That's going to start with prayer. That's going to start with the desire of the heart. And when we seek Him with all of our heart, we shall find Him. I believe that. Are we willing to seek Him with all of our heart? Do we believe? Are we just going to make a bunch of racket like the prophets of Baal? Are we going to call on the name of a living God and believe that He's going to hear us? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Every time I've ever went believing that, it's happened. So let's go believing. Let's go with a forgiving heart. And I want you to know, listen to me. You say, well, Brother Jeff, I want to forgive this person, but they've not come and asked me to forgive them. Well, bless your little heart. That man never has asked me to forgive him. Never. And you know something? It don't matter. I forgive him anyway. Because I was the one really in the wrong. We're not to carry a grudge. We're not to judge. God is to be the judge. He's the righteous judge. And I done become God, and boy, I was sure punishing him. I was doing a really good job. And then one night, laying there in the bed, it dawned on me. I said, that man's home asleep right now. He's got peace in his heart, and he's resting. And here I lay in torment. I said, God, I forgive him. Would you please, please forgive me? And just like that, peace rolled in my soul. It wasn't but a few minutes I rolled over and went to sleep. And I promise you, never once since then have I been mad at that man. Matter of fact, the next time I seen him, you know what I done, brother? I shook his hand.
Amen.
I hugged him. And it never changed. He's gone now. He's going to be with the Lord. Ain't it good that you're able to get things like that fixed before it's too late? What if I never was willing? What if I just carried that on and on and on? It would cost my relationship with God. I would have been in torment. I want you to have peace. I want you to have a revival. If you got a problem, just get it fixed. If you ain't got one, hey, it don't apply to you. Boy, that's good. And right now, as far as I know, I don't have no walk with my brother. As far as I know, there ain't no trouble. And I pray it stays that way. I love my brothers and sisters, and I never want to be mad at nobody like that again. Never. So let's try to let's work on these things. We've got 2 or 3 weeks to work on them for the revival. But you may not have the rest of the day to work on them today. I don't know when that sky is going to bust open, but it's going to. I don't know when He's going to say, this is your bounds, Jeff, and you're not going to cross them. It's going to be ended. So have everything as best as you can in order. I've heard Teresa say that. That she wants to be in order when it comes time. I do too. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, instead of, why didn't you forgive your brother? Why didn't you ask me to forgive you for this? Let's try to get it right. That's my message. I'll try to hush. Thank you for listening to me.